Hello, this is Matthew Glanfield, and this is our BBO Traffic Series call all about search engine optimization. Now, the goal of this call afterwards, you should have a fundamental and a good working knowledge of search engine optimization. I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to teach you everything about search engine optimization in this call. That would take probably a year or two to go over everything there is to learn about it. But what I do want to teach you is what you need to know, because there's a few different levels of knowledge in search engine optimization. And there's the normal level, where most of the people are, and that is have no knowledge of search engine optimization, don't know how to rank high in a search engine. Then we have our level one, where we have people who think they know how to rank in a search engine and do some things and kind of go off of what anybody tells them. They read things off of a forum, and then they try it, and they end up either burning themselves or not getting any results, and so they kind of forget about search engine optimization. Then you have the next level of people who know what they need to know in order to do it. And they've learned from correct sources, and they do some testing, but don't know everything there is to know. Because the next level, which is the high-level search engine optimization experts, are those who are constantly testing it with hundreds of sites, or at least dozens of sites. Because if you just have one site and you do tests and you often get a higher search engine ranking, it's hard to tell what really made the difference. We know with split testing, when you have control over just changing one little thing, then you're able to see what improves your conversion. But when it comes to search engine optimization, who knows what it is sometimes, because Google changes their algorithms every day. There's always new changes that you have to be aware of, and some that you don't have to be aware of, but there's always new changes regardless. So you might make a change to your website, and all of a sudden, boom, you're getting top search engine rankings. And you think, oh, that change must have done it, when really it just happened to be that Google changed their search engine algorithms around the same time, and they naturally ranked your site higher. But then you go off to a forum and say, hey, I did this change to my site. Now I have number one ranking in Google. And then everybody else thinks that's a way to do search engine optimization. And that's how most people learn search engine optimization. I prefer to learn it the correct way. And there's two correct ways to learn it. One is to do extensive testing yourself over multiple sites, not one site, and not just over multiple sites, but over multiple markets. So if you're just in one market, it's going to be very hard to do that. You need to have a whole bunch of clients who you can do tests with on their website. So you make a change to everybody's website and see if generally everybody's rankings go up. And then you can say, okay, it must have been because of this change. And that's a better way to do it. Or you can just go to somebody who does this, who has dozens of sites or hundreds of sites, and does regular testing and keeps up to date and continue to learn from them. I opt to the second one. I don't have millions of sites. I don't have tons of different markets that I work in. So I learn from really good resources. And the one resource that I've been learning most of my search engine optimization from is from StomperNet. And so recently I sent out some emails. If you go to goingnatural2.com, that's goingnatural and then the number 2.com, that'll take you to Stomper and some of their free videos and stuff. They deliver a lot of good free content, and then they have their coaching programs and all that kind of stuff. And I've been learning from one of their coaching programs all about search engine optimization. And I put it to the test, and holy cow, does it work. And it works well. And I don't know all the stuff, and I just want to learn what is necessary for me to get higher search engine rankings and not all the nitty-gritty details that's going to take me years of research to figure out. So we need to have a trustworthy source. You can't just go onto forums. You can't go onto websites who claim that they talk about search engine optimization and hope to get the right results. Because that's just not the way to do it. That's not the way to learn anything. You need to learn from somebody who tests and from somebody who uses it regularly. So it's very, very, very important that you have that mindset first off. You're not going to learn everything there is to do with search engine optimization. That is a lifelong endeavor because it's always changing. But you are going to learn the essentials of what the search engines are looking for and how you can give that to them in a way that they rank your site higher. This is not a battle with the search engines. It's not a fight against Google to get higher rankings. It's their website. They have complete control over what they do, and nobody can really do anything about it. I've heard people saying there's going to be a lawsuit against Google because of the recent change. Their website. You depend on Google solely for your traffic, you're in trouble, because that's just not a good thing to do. You don't just depend on one source for your traffic. You have multiple sources of traffic. And so just keep that in mind that when you're doing this, that you're not trying to trick the search engines. You're not trying to rely on them solely. You're still going to do other traffic methods because there's a lot of other powerful things to do. Having said that, Google has been around for a while. They're going to be around for a while. So if you can get, if you can tap into high search engine rankings with them, most likely you're going to be set for a very long time of getting a lot of good traffic. But like I said, don't rely on it because one change can knock you off the top page. But that shouldn't discourage you, and I'll tell you why. It's because we're going to do something a little different than what most people do, at least what most people used to do, with search engine optimization. We are not just going to try to get high rankings for one or two major keywords. If you run a health and fitness website, we're not going to try to get high rankings for lose weight. That's just tough. That's tough work. Instead, we're going to try to get high rankings for 2, 3, maybe 5 or 10,000 different keywords. And that way, if Google changes their algorithms and a couple thousand of those keywords no longer bring you good traffic, that's okay, because you still have the other thousands of keywords that bring you traffic. And if that sounds like a daunting task, well, you're going to learn how you can do it really easily and how I did it after learning just a bit and how now I have a website, actually I have a couple websites that get traffic from thousands of keywords every day, not thousands every day, but thousands of keywords, and I get traffic every day. I'll be giving you exact numbers of the websites, actually, so you can kind of determine for yourself how good this is. But thousands of keywords have brought me traffic. Every month we have thousands of keywords, and there's always new ones cropping up, and there's always old ones disappearing. It's a constant change, but since we're getting traffic from all these sources of keywords, changes to Google don't affect us as much. So think of it that way. We're not just getting traffic from one part in Google. We're getting it from thousands of parts. Just like you don't want to have one JV partner, you want to have 10 JV partners and 20 JV partners. That way, if one decides they don't want to email for your next launch, well, that's okay. You still have all the others. And if one of them stops dealing with you or they go out of business or something, then that's okay. You have other JV partners. But you never just want to rely on one single traffic method. So let's get into it. First off, who is search engine optimization for? It's not for everybody, and I'm going to tell you why. First off, you have to have the right kind of site. Okay, you can use this for sites that are simply squeeze pages. If your site is a squeeze page and a sales page, you can do search engine optimization, but I'm going to tell you right now, it is going to be very, very, very difficult to do well with it. It's going to take a lot of work. But it is possible if you're willing to put in the work. But I'll tell you right now, there's other ways around that, and we'll talk about that. So who is this for? If you have an e-commerce site where you sell a whole bunch of different physical products, this is definitely for you. If you have a blog where you're posting regularly with articles, you have lots of information on your site, or if you have some sort of information site, which in my opinion should be a blog, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. So if you have some sort of information site where you're giving away free articles, videos, or whatever, you have lots of free content that's updated regularly, this will also be extremely useful to you. Hey, like I said, if you have an information site where you just have a squeeze page and a sales page, this will be hard. So what you need to do if you have an information site is start a blog. And let me give you some numbers. This is of an actual blog, not in internet marketing. This is not the BBO Institute blog. I have another side business that we started 2.5-3 months ago, created the website, and then started doing search engine optimization for it. I think it was, well, I got a date right here. It was mid-November. Beginning of November, we started to do all the stuff for search engine optimization. The site was created in October, and then beginning of November, we started to do the things that I'm going to teach you to try to get rankings in the search engine. And so at the beginning of November, we didn't have any traffic from Google. We started this blog, started writing articles and posting regularly. And by the end of November, so beginning of November, no traffic from Google. By the end of November, we were getting, okay, drum roll, 20 unique visitors per day. Does that sound like a lot? Well, no, of course it's not. It's only 20 visitors a day. However, that's 20 visitors a day from the search engines within 1 month. In fact, within 1 week of starting what I'm going to teach you today, we started to get traffic from Google. This is not you have to wait 3 or 4 or 6 months for you to start seeing traffic. You can start seeing traffic pretty quickly. Now, it's going to differ in every market, so I can't give you any promises. I'm not going to tell you, apply this and you'll get traffic within 7 days. I don't know that. It It really depends on your market. But I'm just telling you that I did. And these are very simple things. This is done by a non-expert. Hey, I learned what I needed to learn, and I applied it, and these are the results I got. By the end of December, we were getting 50 unique visitors per day from Google. And so far in January, we're getting roughly 80 to 90 unique visitors per day from Google. Okay, now that's not how many visitors we're getting, because the other stuff that you do with search engine optimization will get you traffic naturally from other places as well, as we'll talk. In fact, right now on our blog, we're getting roughly 250 to 300 unique visitors per day as a result of what I'm going to teach you today. So you might be wondering, oh, how's that possible? You just said you get 80 unique visitors from Google. And we're doing search engine optimization. How are you getting so much more traffic from other sources? And you're going to find out, because some of the stuff that you do for search engine optimization will also get you traffic elsewhere. So we're getting right now 250 unique visitors per day within, November, December, about 2.5 months. How would you like to work on something and 2.5 months later be getting 250 unique visitors per day? And after a slight change to our blog, we're now getting about close to a 10% conversion rate on our newsletter sign-up. So we're getting 20 unique sign-ups per day, or 20 sign-ups per day to our newsletter. And by the way, it's something for conversion. We're getting over 95% verification rate. You know, if you're having problems getting a double opt-in, we'll talk sometime on another call about how you can get really good opt-in rates and verification rates with those emails. So we're adding 20 new subscribers every day from free traffic. 20 subscribers a day, within 1 year, we'll have over 7,000 subscribers, except we'll have more than that because it's growing. The more traffic we get, the more subscribers we get every day. It's just been recently that we've been getting 20 subscribers a day, and so that's going to keep growing. So I'm guessing that within a year, we could easily build a list of 20, 30, 40,000 from this free traffic from the methods I'm going to show you today. So this is not a long, long-term strategy. This is a short-term strategy with long-term benefits. And this is all just from a blog. A blog that I think now has 80 or 90 articles on it. Some of them big, some of them small, some of them are just videos that we've posted on YouTube as well. But it's just from a blog. We're not talking about this huge, monstrous website. And that's what we're kind of results that we're getting. So let's say you have an e-commerce website. So if you're one of those out there that's not running an information marketing site, you're doing an e-commerce site, I got great news for you. This works really well as well. We started the e-commerce site later. In December 9th, it was that we had no traffic from Google. That week, we had started to do search engine optimization for that site because we finally got the store finished. We had the blog side and we have a store side. And they're two completely separate sites. And so December 9th of 2007, we had no traffic from Google. By December 24th, roughly, what would that be? Not even 3 weeks later, 2.5 weeks later, we were getting 52 unique visitors per day. And by January 1st, not even a month later, we were getting 92 unique visitors per day. And 3 days ago, I checked our stats, and we got 174 unique visitors just from Google. Now, is that not fantastic? That's just awesome. And on top of that, we're getting traffic from our blog to our store, and so we're getting even more visitors than that. So 174 unique visitors. We're getting roughly 150 to 200 unique visitors from Google per day. So our blog right now is getting 80 unique visitors per day from Google, and our store is getting between 150 to 200, plus both of them are getting traffic from other sources as well. So combined with the strategy, I'm getting 500-600 unique visitors per day to my website. Just tell me that you wouldn't want that. This is not your typical traffic. This is good, high-quality traffic that you are going to be able to use. And especially in certain markets, it'll convert really well for you. Now, the reason that the e-commerce site does so much better is because it has more pages. And we're going to talk about that later. But remember that whole net thing I was telling you about, how we're looking for thousands of keywords? Well, the more pages you have, the more keywords you have. That doesn't mean that you're going to create junk pages. We'll talk about that. But the e-commerce site, we have over 2,000 pages on it because we have 1,200, 1,300 products, plus the category pages, plus everything else. Works out to about 2,000 pages. That ranked even faster. So that's why I'm saying if you have an e-commerce site, this is exciting for you. But you can still do this, even if all you have is a blog. In fact, learn it. If you do what I'm going to teach you, you could start from scratch. Create a new blog, because this is exactly what we did. This is a new business. This is not an established business. I have no JV partners in this other business. Not yet. We're going to be working on that soon. Just created a blog, and within a short amount of time, was getting all these visitors. And within a few months, I can only predict how much we're going to get, so I'm not going to even try to make up numbers, because I don't know. We're going to see where it goes. And before I go any further, I want to make one warning. There's two sides to SEO. Some would argue a third as well, but there's two main sides. There's what's called white hat and black hat. So if you're wearing the white hat or if you're wearing a black hat, white hat SEO is what you should be doing. It's what Google wants you to do. Google wants to rank your site high if it is what it's looking for. And so white hat SEO is doing what Google wants. Black hat SEO is trying to trick the websites into doing things. And a lot of people do black hat, and they're very successful with it, and they get lots of traffic from it. And then Google makes a change, and boom, they lose all their traffic. They find another way to exploit Google, and they do it again. They make a full-time job out of finding exploitations for Google. And then they get slapped, and it goes back down, and they find another way. And they keep going back and forth. And I'm guessing it's probably stressful, because when it happens and they lose all their traffic, even though if they're getting tons of traffic one day and none the next, that's very stressful. If you do white hat SEO, you'll experience a bit more stability. But like I said, you still can't count on Google all the time. You're going to have spikes up and down in your traffic. But the best way for you to maximize the work that you're going to put into this and minimize the amount of work that you have to put into this is to stay on the white side. On the white hat SEO side. If you ever hear somebody say, hey, this is a great way to trick the search engines, if you ever hear that word in there, trick or fool, you need to just ignore them right away. But follow the search engine rules and give them what they're looking for. You'll hear other philosophies, obviously, because there are people who successfully do black hat and they try to trick the search engines. But like I said, they're always on a fine line where they're successful for a little while. And then things stop working. So the one thing that you can do, and I heard it explained to me about a year ago, and I love this explanation, is that Google is looking for natural-looking websites. It's trying to mimic nature, in a sense. And what you want to do is you want to be natural. Everything you do needs to be natural. So if you're doing something and you say to yourself, this isn't really naturally what would happen on the website, then it's probably not what you should be doing. So let me give you some examples first off. If your site is natural, this is what it would do. It will grow regularly, not all at once. Now, you know, a new site obviously is going to, when I created my e-commerce store, it started off with 2,000 pages. So it's obviously starting out big. But it's going to grow over time as they add more and more products to it and as things are modified. And the blog, it grows regularly and naturally, not all at once. So if you have a five-page website, and it's been a five-page website for the past 2 years, and you all of a sudden you go and you purchase 20,000 PLR articles, and you have them all spun using some sort of piece of software, which means all the, you know, change keywords so that they look fresh, and you dump those 20,000 articles onto your website, and your site grows from 5 pages to 20,000 in 5 pages, is that natural? Well, no. And Google's going to see that, and it's going to set off their little radar, and they may or may not penalize you. Instead, what you should do if you get those 20,000 articles, which I don't suggest you do, but let's say you're going to do it, is you would set them up to be released maybe 5 every day. And so then Google will say, hey, this site's been updated. Maybe we should go back there. And they'll say, okay, we'll go back there eventually. 7 days later, Google bot, which is the little robot who comes and looks at your website, puts it in their search engine, comes back and says, oh, hey, look, there's even more pages. In fact, there's like 20 more pages. It's been 4 days, or maybe 7 days, so there's 140 more pages, or I can't do my math, 35 more pages. There we go. So looks like this site is being updated. We should come back more often. All right, we'll go back in 4 days then. So 4 days later they come. Hey, it's still being updated regularly. It looks like it's being updated maybe even more frequently. Okay, we'll go back in 2 days. And the Googlebot will come back more and more often and pick up more and more of your pages. And until the point where it's coming multiple times per day, and it's coming and it's picking up your content, your new content, is putting it in its search engines, and you're slowly starting to now reach out into all sorts of different keywords within your market. So that's one way that your site is natural. Another way that your site is natural is it will be updated regularly. Some pages will remain static, they will never change, but if your site is natural, things will change over time. Articles will get updated, right? Because it has to be updated. New comments will be posted. This is why blogs are great, because when somebody posts a comment on a post that you've done, it's changed that page. So to Google, it's like, hey, this page has been updated. We should update their pages more often. So we won't just look for new pages. We'll come back and look at their old pages, which will naturally increase your ranking. Also, one of the important factors for getting higher search engine rankings is getting inbound links, getting people to link to your website. If it's done naturally, if you think about it, if a site grows naturally and a person is not trying to do search engine optimization and it's a useful site with really good content, people will naturally link to it. That's what will happen. Somebody will stumble across the site and say, oh, this site's really good. I should put a link to it in my forum or on my blog. And they'll naturally do that. And over time, you'll naturally build up links. And that's what Google wants. And so when you're going out and doing your link campaigns and trying to get links to your website, there's these services where you can go and for $50, you can get 10,000 inbound links to your website all at once. Well, is that natural? If Google's going and looking at your site and it's like, hey, we've got 5 inbound links. And then the next day it's, oh, we've got 10,005. Something's not quite right here. So instead, you want to get links over time. You don't just want to get 10,000 at once. You want to start off with a few and then getting more and then more and more. So that's also what's natural. So if your site is natural, it'll grow regularly, it'll be updated regularly, and new links to your website from other websites will appear regularly and over time, not all at once. Because when it comes down to it, search engine optimization can be boiled down to two main components. You should write this down. This is the key to search engine optimization. Okay, does everybody have a pen? Hopefully you have one, because this is the most important factor in search engine optimization. Ready? Here we go. Content and links. Content and links. Now we can go further than that. We can say unique, good content, or great content, or high quality content, and relevant links. I'm not just going to say inbound, because links in your website actually matter as well. So unique, high quality content and relevant links. So if you're a store that sells, I'll just make up another one, dog stuff, dog apparel, and dog accessories, and you're getting links from a health and fitness website, it's not necessarily going to be the most valuable link. Whereas if you're a dog site and you get a link from a pet site or a cat site, something that seems to be slightly related, then that'll be more quality and that'll help you to get higher rankings. But before we get into content and links, we need to talk about one other thing. And this is probably a very important thing to cover before we even get into what you need to do to rank higher. The first thing we need to talk about is keywords. Okay, so we've talked about keywords in other training. We've talked about keywords in Google AdWords, but this is different. This is much different than doing keyword research for Google AdWords, because it's going to be a little bit more extensive. Now, your AdWords keyword hunting or research can definitely be used towards what we're about to talk here. But what I'm talking about is, what keywords do you want to rank for? A lot of people make a mistake of saying what we call tier one keywords. The search engine community, there's tier one, tier two, and then long tail keywords. Now, they might call tier three or tier four and whatever, and I'll explain what that means. But tier one keywords are your main keywords. So let's say you have a site that's all about dog training. You have some ebooks about dog training, and you also have a blog that teaches or that has articles and videos about dog training and updates and news and everything else that you can think of. Well, your tier one keyword would be dog training. And it could be multiple other tier one keywords as well in your business. It might not just be one thing. In internet marketing, your tier one keywords could be internet marketing, business opportunity, online marketing, e-commerce marketing. Those are all tier one keywords. they are the hardest to rank for, because if somebody starts search engine optimization and they don't know what they're doing, those are the keywords they're typically going to do the work for, which means the majority of people are trying to rank for those keywords. Also, those who don't know anything about search engine optimization, who don't try to get high rankings, but who do so naturally anyways, because you know they make a site about dog training, and it's a really good site, and they don't really care about search engine rankings, they're naturally going to get good rankings anyways, because over time, people are going to find it, they're going to link to it, and so they're going to be well-established for those main keywords. It's not that you can't rank really high for those main keywords. It's just that they're the hardest to do, and they'll take the longest time. Thus, like the long-term goal, in 6 months or a year from now, hopefully you can be ranking in the top page of Google for those main keywords, such as dog training. Or it could even be pet training. Yeah, that would be a very tier one keyword. However, what we want to do is we want to drill down a bit deeper. Because as you drill down, you'll find that there's less traffic, but higher conversions. And when I say less traffic, I mean per keyword. There's actually more keywords, and I'll talk about that right now. A tier two keyword is one that's not as common as the tier one keyword. Let's go back to our dog training example. So our tier one keyword is dog training. Our tier two keyword could be poodle training. Okay, it's the same number of words, but poodle is not as common as dogs. So that means that there'll be less people searching for poodles or for poodle training than there are just general dog training. And the nice thing about that is that means that people who don't know much about search engine optimization, when they're doing their keyword research, they may see poodle training as one of the keywords, but then it's like, oh, there's not as high a search volume, so I'm not going to bother with that one. And they just focus on the high volume keywords, thinking that that'll help. But it really doesn't. And so poodle training could be a tier two keyword. Another tier two keyword could be dog training school. Rather than just dog training school. Typically, tier two keywords will have more words. They'll be longer phrases. So dog training school could be one, or dog training accessories, or poodle training, or something that's more specific than a tier one. If you think about computers, tier one would be, but let's say somebody's looking to buy a laptop, and you are an online store that sells laptops, or you're an affiliate that sells other laptops from other stores. Your tier one keyword would be laptop. Okay? And not only do you don't want to worry about that, because if somebody types in laptop in the search engine, are they looking to buy one? Not necessarily. Your tier two would be maybe a more specific type of laptop. Maybe it's an HP notebook. That would be a tier two. It's more specific, less people are searching for it than your tier one, but it still is more specific. And so that's your tier two keywords. Those are much easier to rank for, but they're still not really, really easy to rank for right away. It might take you a month or two to start ranking for your tier two keywords. That's where we go to the tier three keywords, or what are commonly called as long tail. And the reason they're called long tails, if you look at a graph, and from left to right are all your keywords, and on the left are your most popular keywords, and then as it goes across to the right, they're less and less popular keywords, and you graph how many people search for those keywords, you'll see that it'll be nice and high up top, and then it'll dip down. But then it'll continue to go out for a very long time, but at a low amount, because even though these keywords are very uncommon, there's still people searching them. This is not very many. So you have this long tail on the graph that covers tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of keywords within your market. At least thousands, if not tens of thousands, but even hundreds of thousands of keywords within your market. Now let me ask you a question. What would you rather do? Work really hard on search engine optimization so you can start getting some traffic from the tier one keywords in a year, or just start working on search engine optimization and get a bit of traffic from all of those long tail keywords? Well, if you're thinking correctly, obviously you're going to want the long tail. If there's 1,000 keywords in the long tail and you just get one visitor per day from each of those keywords, because there's not very much traffic, that's 1,000 visitors per day. That's much better than working really hard to hopefully get that one keyword that if Google changes their algorithms one day, you might just get bumped out of anyways. But if you have these 1,000 long tail keywords, and Google changes its algorithms, you might lose rankings on some of them and maybe gain rankings on some new ones anyways. So examples of long-tail keywords, if we go back to the dog training, the dog training is tier one, poodle training is tier two. A long tail could be how to teach a poodle to sit. You might be thinking, wow, who's going to search for that? Well, you'd be surprised. Hey, you can't guess what everybody's going to search for. You don't have the capacity for it, simply because there's all sorts of things that people are going to search for that you've never even thought of before. Nobody has the capacity to think about all of them. If we go back to the laptop example, tier one would be laptop, tier two could be HB or HP notebook, and then long tail could be HP notebook Presario R4000 with 2 gigs of RAM or something like that, where it's very specific. And let me ask you something. If somebody types in HP Presario notebook R4000, do you think that there's a higher chance that they're looking to purchase something than if they just type in laptop? Of course there is. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to purchase something? Well, of course not. That's why we have conversion rates, not 100% conversion. But you're going to have a higher conversion rate with the long tail. How to teach a poodle to sit. If somebody arrives on your website, okay, they come to your website and they land on an article that's titled How to Teach a Poodle to Sit, and it teaches some good information, and then it has a link to buy your ebook, which teaches you how to do other stuff just like this. And you have two visitors that arrive there. One typed in dog training, and they found that article. And the other typed in how to teach a poodle to sit, and they found that article. Which of those two is most likely to like your article, and therefore maybe purchase your ebook? The answer should be obvious. The one who typed in how to teach a poodle to sit, because they found exactly what they were looking for. The dog training, who knows? Do they care about poodles? Maybe they don't care about sitting. Maybe they just have a problem with them attacking their neighbor's kids. They want to train them how to stop attacking other people. And maybe they don't even have a poodle. Maybe they have a Rottweiler or some other kind of dog. And so it's easier to convert those who come from the long tail. So here's the strategy that we want. The problem is trying to come up with all the long tail keywords is a lot of work. And so you doing that, you can do some keyword research and you can find some long tail keywords, but you're going to be guessing at best. Because the idea of the long tail is that there's thousands of them. So it's going to be hard for you to find all these thousands. So here's a strategy that I use and that I was taught. You want to work towards tier one, but you want to get your traffic at first from long tail and tier two. And so the strategy is optimize your site for tier two. Because you can research all your tier two keywords. If you're thinking, my site's all about dog training, so you go and you go to the AdWords keyword tool, and you type in dog training, and you look at all the keywords that show up. Those are pretty much your tier two keywords. Some of them might be long tail, but most of them will be your tier two keywords. That's when poodle training will come up, or teach a dog to sit, or all those things, where they're pretty broad still, but not so broad. They're still more specific than dog training. You're going to make your website based around that. Well, how do you make your website based around that? You write articles about it. If one of them is poodle training, then one of your articles should be how to train a poodle. If another one is dog sit, you know, dog sit training, teach a dog to sit, that's a good tier two, because dog is still pretty broad. You can write an article, how to teach a dog to sit. And then what's going to happen if you have your Google Analytics installed on your website is in your traffic reports, you're going to be able to see which keywords are bringing you traffic. And as you look at that, you're going to start to see all these different keywords that you didn't purposely optimize for that just naturally happen. And the long tail keywords will naturally be ranked. And that's where you get your traffic at first. And as soon as you see those start coming in, any ones of them that start to bring you more than just, you know, a visitor every month or two visitors every month, you look at them and you write articles about them. In fact, with our e-commerce store, I was surprised which keywords brought us the most traffic. In fact, the one that's brought us the most traffic is a specific product name. And so what did I do? Well, I made sure that I had reviews about that product and that we made it a featured product, because if that's bringing us so much traffic, I want to make sure that it's more visible for the search engine. I put it on our homepage, and it's getting even more traffic now. So as you analyze your long-tail traffic, you can write articles about it, or you can create new products about that. You can see what people are looking for and how they're coming to your site. So, and just to give you an idea, on my website, on the e-commerce site, within the past month, a little over a month, we have received traffic from over 2,500 keywords. In fact, I just checked right before the call, and the current count was 2,549 keywords, and most of them are long tail. There was a few tier two, but most of them were long tail. The 2,549 keywords have sent us traffic. That's incredible. Within 1 month, we're already ranked in probably the top page. Otherwise, you don't really get traffic. Maybe in the top two, three pages for over 2,000 keywords within a month. What do you think it's going to be like in 6 months? How many keywords? And how many, like, we'll get higher rankings with those keywords. Every once in a while, I'll just grab some of the keywords I see in my stats, and I'll go and search for them on Google and see where we are. We're not at number one position for most of them. There's very few that were number one, which means we can get more traffic from those keywords as we improve our rankings, and which is done by links, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. And so you build all your pages for your tier two keywords, and the long tail takes care of itself. Now, let's talk about more keywords. On my blog, remember on the e-commerce store, we got 2,549 different keywords sending us traffic. On our blog, we have 1,684. That's a little over 2 months. We have 1,684 keywords that have sent my blog traffic. That's, if you think about that, that's a lot of traffic. That's a lot of keywords. That's a big net that we're casting out. If you think about it that way, your keywords that you're trying to rank for is like a net. If you're just ranking for 10 keywords, you have a very small net. You have one of those that you hold in your hand or picking up goldfish. That's all you're going to get. It's just small fish. If you have a huge net and you just cast it out there and it's thousands of keywords big, and you don't have to research all the thousands, you just research 50 or 100 tier 2 keywords and you start making all your articles based around that, your net's going to be huge and it's going to be able to collect a lot more. And you're going to get a lot more traffic, and you're going to expose a lot more people to your website, and you're going to find out exactly what people are looking for as well. What's the most popular searches? Start looking at your long tail, and you'll start to see what people are looking for exactly. Now, if somebody types in article marketing, they come to your site, who knows what they're looking for? Maybe they're looking for a service for article marketing. Maybe they're looking for an ebook about how to do it themselves. Maybe they're looking for some tips and tricks. Maybe they're looking for sites where they could submit their articles. But if they type in, how do I do article marketing, then you know that they're looking for information. And that if you see enough of those searches, you create an ebook on it. You create an info product that you can sell to them. And the other thing is, when you're doing link strategies, which we're going to be talking about later in the call, you want to get links for your tier two keywords. And we'll talk about what that means. So just write that down for now. It all really relates to our tier two keywords. You're getting your links for them. Okay. So hopefully you're following me so far. If not, just go ahead and type in some questions if you're listening to this call live. Let's talk about now the two components of search engine optimization. Our component number one is unique, useful, high quality content. And number two is relevant links to your website. So let's start with content, because you can't really do search engine optimization without having something to optimize, and that would be your website. So the ideal, well, let me talk about the most ideal content that you can have. So this is what it needs to be. You can write down this right now. It needs to be unique. It means it shouldn't be anywhere else on the internet. That doesn't mean that nobody else talks about it. It just means word for word, it's nowhere else. It needs to be original. I guess another way of saying unique. It needs to be useful, so it gets natural links as well as links that you're going to be looking for. The useful content, because, you know, if you're not going to make useful content, then what are you doing with your business? And it needs to be keyword rich, which means you know what your tier one and tier two keywords are, so you're going to purposely use them in as many places as you can without making it sound unnatural. Remember, we're always shooting for natural. And it needs to be updated regularly. And remember what I said about the comments on the blog? One of the easiest ways you get updated is by letting your users or your visitors update the content. And if you're running a blog, comments are the easiest way. You need to encourage comments. How do you encourage comments? Simple. You ask for them first off. Hey, please post your comments if you have any questions. Please post your comments to let me know what you thought of this video. And when people post comments, reply to them. You know, once you get a larger site and you're getting hundreds of comments all the time, that might be a little harder. But at first, reply to their comments. That'll really encourage people to post, because if other people come and they see that you've replied to other people's comments, then that'll encourage them to do it. They'll be like, hey, if I post them, he'll actually read it, which is great. If you have an e-commerce store, then a common thing to do is have the ability for people to review the product. So the actual product page will get updated with new reviews. So that's a great way to do that. And, of course, regular updating and adding new products will help as well. So when you're creating your content, you have to worry about what we call on-page optimization. And that means, how do you create the page in such a way that it'll be most search engine friendly? Well, I'm going to tell you right away, there's not a whole lot you have to worry about. There is a whole lot you can worry about, and you can really optimize it to the T, but that's just based off of what the search engines are doing right now. So let's talk about what has always been effective and what we, therefore, I believe, will continue to be the most effective. And that way you don't have to worry about most of the things that when it comes to your content. So the most important part of the page, I want you to guess what it is right now. Think in your mind, what is the most important part of the page, of your web page, for when it comes to making it search engine friendly? If you wanted to rank really, really well for how to teach a poodle to sit, where would you put that phrase right there? Hopefully, if you didn't answer this, that's okay. You're learning it right now. The answer is in the title tag. And what I mean by the title is if you're at a website, let's say you're using Firefox or Internet Explorer, and you're at a website, up at the very top of your browser, in the blue bar, if you're using the regular template or the regular theme, is a title. It's not on the actual web page itself. It's up on the top of your bar. That is the title of the website, and that goes in what's called the title tag. If you don't understand what that means, then you probably don't make your own website, which is fine. But tell your web designer that in the title tag, we need to put the keywords. So if I were trying to rank for how to teach a dog to sit, I would write an article titled, How to Teach a Dog to Sit, and the page that article is on, in the title bar, it would say, How to Teach a Dog to Sit. Now, the other places where it's important is in what's called the H1 tag. So the H1 tag is used to make a header, a headline more. And you can control how big it is. I'm not going to try to explain all the details here for that. But in the H1 tag, that is the next important place. I'm not sure if it's the next most important place, but it's definitely one of the more important places. And then it needs to be in the general text. Now, if you're running a blog, this is easy. This is really, 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 really easy. You're running a WordPress blog. All you have to do is put, when you make the post title, if you have any experience with a WordPress blog, when you're writing your blog post, the title, the post title, will naturally be in the title. It'll naturally get an H1 tag. It'll naturally get linked to properly. So it's all taken care of for you. So the other place that you have to just make sure that you're using your keywords properly is in the text of the article or whatever the page is, or the description of the product that you're selling. And now, obviously, for the word how to teach a dog to sit, you're not going to keep saying that over and over again. So you want to use other words like dog training or poodle training. So you might start off your article by saying, the title is how to teach a dog to sit. Let's say that's what you're trying to rank for that article. But there's also other things that you're going to work on too. And so then in your article, you say, in this article about dog training, we are going to teach you how you can get your dog to sit. So there, we just said the title one more time. Might as well get the density in there a bit. This will work for poodles, Rottweilers, and you can name off a whole bunch of dogs, because that might be some other keywords that you're trying to rank for. And then you continue with your article. Just naturally pepper it with your tier 2 keywords. Not just one, but as many as you can. That makes sense. These sound natural, though. Don't make it sound all choppy. I've seen really, really bad articles where there was one about golf. I don't remember the exact words, but it went something like, title was golf clubs, and then it was, to find the best golf clubs, Tiger Woods recommends golf clubs that are really good golf clubs that have good black tops to them when you're making your Tiger Woods golf clubs. And they just kept repeating the words over and over and over again, and it looked so unnatural, and it was just awful. It was awful to read. Because think about it. If you make something that's awful to read, but it's good for search engines, well, you're not trying to sell the search engine. They're not the one. They're not going to read that article and say, hey, that was pretty good keyword density. Let's give this guy some money. No, they're going to send you traffic. They're going to send you visitors who will then have to read whatever you wrote. So it needs to be natural text. It needs to sound natural and sound good and still be well written, but naturally peppered with all of your tier, or with some of your tier two keywords and whichever ones you're trying to rank for in particular. So there's the basic ideas of on-page optimization. Now the question might be, well, how do I get more unique content? Well, the best way is write it yourself. Write an article every day. How long does it take you to write an article? Probably, if you just write a basic article, 20 to 25 minutes a day. That's not a bad thing to do. A lot of people try to buy PLR articles, private label write articles, and then spin them. And like I said before, they use a piece of software that changes keywords. Like it'll change verbs to synonyms or adjectives to other things that mean the same thing, except that it doesn't always work. Spun articles will always make a garbage site. And that's not going to be something that you want to do. Because, like I said, you're going to have real visitors. And if they come in there and it's a really, really bad article, they're not going to want to buy from you. Sure, you'll get traffic, but you won't get any sales. And then eventually you'll get penalized for using garbage content. A better way than using PLR articles would be to have somebody else write them for you. And I know people that do this very successfully. And you don't have to pay them hourly. If you're worried about cost, you can make a deal with somebody. You find an aspiring writer near you and say, hey, I want to run this blog. I'm going to be doing search engine optimization. I'm going to put Google AdSense on it. And I'll tell you what, if you write the articles for me about this subject, I will pay you whatever Google AdSense makes, or you can a portion of it, you know, maybe maximize it, say, or $1,000 a month or something, whatever's less. So if Google makes $200 in that month, I'll pay you $200. So you don't really have any risk because you just kind of make whatever AdSense makes. Or you can pay them an hourly wage or article by article, whatever you feel most comfortable with. And you could also do something, if you have a bit more of a foothold in a market, you can always go out and find partners who you will send traffic and links to if they write unique content for you. I've seen this done many times, and many sites utilize this, where you go and you write, in fact, if you think about it, article directories do this exactly. Easing articles. They want you to go and submit your content to their website where they make money off of it, and they don't want to give you any money in return. They want you to do it for free, and yet you do it. Why do you do it? Well, it's because you go there and you get links in return, and you hopefully get traffic in return as well. And so they get tons of people submitting their unique content to them every single day because they're in return giving them something else. Or you can just outsource to a writer who you pay by the article, but that can get expensive. So you can be creative in the ways that you get unique content done for your website. For the website I'm talking about, the blog that I was giving you the example for, I don't actually write the content for that. I have a partner who does. And so we're in on this venture together for this business. He works on creating the content, and I work on optimizing the websites and driving traffic and all of that and doing other marketing things as well and working on the programming and the web design. And so he works on the content. I work on the logistics of the websites as well. Now, if you're running an e-commerce site, this can be a bit more challenging because in order for a page to really have enough content on it, it needs to have more than just a picture of the product and the price. So each product needs to be a unique page with unique content. Now, they can all have the same navigation bars, but in order for you to have enough unique content, you need to put at least as many or around as many words in the content as there are in the navigation. If your navigation has all sorts of words, you know, highlight all those words, copy them in Microsoft Word, find out how many words there are, and your descriptions need to be at least that long or around that long, and you'll be safe. Now, the way I did it is I actually hired some teenagers who were interested in the same thing that the website provides to write the descriptions, and they actually did a pretty good job, and we paid them in store credit. So it cost me roughly $600 to get 1,200 product descriptions created. That's pretty good. $600, and the reason it didn't cost me quite as much is because I paid them in store credit, which obviously doesn't cost me the same. If I give them a dollar of store credit, it only costs me 60 cents because there's a profit on there, right? So all these things, you can be creative in order to get it done for the best price. But neat content is not something that can be just done automatically. And there's a reason for that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be unique. If it's just, it's like anything else. If you could automate it completely, then everybody would automate it, and then it would negate the benefits of the automation. So unique content is a challenge, but it's something that you need to do in order to have good search engine ranking. Okay. Got a question that came in that says, why not optimize for tier one keywords? Isn't that the main topic of your website? You are naturally optimizing for tier one when you optimize for tier two. Let's say your tier one is notebook computers. Well, if you're optimizing for HP notebook computers and Compaq notebook computers and Acer notebook computers and Intel notebook computers, well, as you can see, the tier one keyword is pretty much contained within the tier two keywords, usually. Or how to train your dog to sit. Well, it contains the word dog training. How to train your dog to sit. So when you rank, when you work towards your tier two, you naturally rank for long tail, and over time, you'll naturally rank for your tier one as well. But if you just work on tier one, you don't get the tier two in the long tail. If all you work on is notebook computer, then it's harder to get the long tail. So that's why we don't really focus too much on the tier one. Although you do want to eventually get it, you still want to pepper your content with your tier one keywords as well. But most of the time, the tier one keywords are contained within the tier two in long tail. Okay, so we have another question from Chris. If thousands of people are trying to get to the top of Google, let's say in the same online business just like you, how can someone really get to the top and stay there? Well, here's the key. Thousands of people aren't trying to get to the top of Google for your business. They're trying to get to the top of Google for the tier one keyword of your business. This is why we go for long tail. There's thousands of other keywords that people don't really optimize for. Why optimize? Why spend all my time on a site optimizing for a keyword that'll bring me a visitor a day? Well, that's obviously a bad idea. So instead, they optimize for the keywords that'll bring them potentially 10, 20, 50,000 visitors per day. They don't realize that everybody else is optimizing for that keyword too. You, on the other hand, will optimize for the ones that get you less per day, but you'll have thousands of them naturally as a consequence of what I am teaching you here. And so they'll all be working and hammering all over each other and jumping on each other, trying to get the top ranking for these main keywords. In the meantime, you'll just be getting healthy thousands of visitors every day in the long run from your keywords that everybody ignores. So how do you really get to the top and stay there? Just like that. Now, mind you, there's certain markets where it's harder than others. One market in particular is internet marketing. If you teach internet marketing, search engine optimization is going to be difficult for you for obvious reasons. One reason is because 90% of the people who learn internet marketing think that they need to teach it in order to be successful. So you have tons of new people all the time entering the internet marketing niche, every day, always more. And so what happens is these new people are trying to get traffic, and they try every method possible, including search engine optimization. So you get tons of competition. And they learn enough that they even go for the tier two and maybe even a long tail. So even a long tail are difficult, but you can still get them, even in the internet marketing niche. I get traffic to my BBO Institute blog every day from Google, but I haven't really done much search engine optimization on it. Otherwise, you know, I could get more. So this can work even for the internet marketing niche. It'll just obviously not be quite as good, but it'll still work. Then we have a question. Can I benefit from this with just my simple opt-in page to drive more traffic to a search engine optimization? Like I said before, you'll need more than that. And so the best way to do it is to start a blog. And then you work on search engine optimization for the blog. And from the blog, you drive traffic to your simple opt-in page. Now, having said that, I could prove to you that a simple one-page website can rank really high. And now I don't know if the ranking is still there, but about 6 months ago, if you typed in the term robot in Google, let's see where it is. Okay, yeah, it's number three. If you type in robot in Google, what you'll find, actually, no, it's not there anymore, but that's okay. It used to be there 6 months ago. the number one position for a little while was the website for iRobot. Not the corporation, but the movie iRobot. And that website was completely Flash, which means Google couldn't read anything. In fact, if you looked at Google's cache and you asked it to show you how it sees it, it was a blank page. So no keywords whatsoever, and yet it ranked really high. So how is that? Well, it's because of links. So they did the second part. They had lots of high-quality links to their website. So you could do it for a one-page landing page, like a simple opt-in page, but it'll take a lot of high-quality links. So you'll have to make up for it with that, and most likely won't be able to do it, or it'll take you a very, very long time to do it. So start a blog, in the least, to start capitalizing on search engine optimization. And make it a really good blog while you're at it. Why not have a blog? You should have a blog in the first place because it's a great way to communicate with your customers and with potential customers and to get them to know you more, to post your videos, to really build up a web presence. Having a single opt-in page is great for list building when you're using AdWords and JV partners, but when it comes to search engine optimization and your business, you should have also a blog. Okay, so let's continue. So we've talked about content. Hopefully you have a good idea now of content. Seems like a lot of work. I'll tell you right now, it is. There's certain things that you need to focus on in your business in order to be successful. And I like to boil it down to three things. Getting traffic to your website, converting that traffic, and a lot of people don't focus on that. They just focus on getting the traffic, and building new content, whether that's free content or whether it's new products. If you leave any of those three out, your business is not going to grow as much as it could, if at all. If you leave out conversion, and you're just working on traffic and products, that's like most people out there. They work on making products and driving traffic. They don't even think about conversion. Well, I didn't make enough sales. I need to get more traffic. No, not necessarily. You need to improve your website to get better conversion. What if you only focus on conversion and products, though, and no traffic? Well, it's going to be a hard battle, although that's a little better, actually. Because if you have high conversion, then the little traffic you do get, you'll make sales. And if an affiliate happens to promote you and he sees that you have a high conversion rate, he's going to start promoting you like crazy. He's going to start AdWords campaigns. He's going to do all the work for you. So it's better to focus on conversion and content than traffic and content. But you still need to focus on content. All the time, you should be creating new content. If you notice, even in my business, I still create new content all the time. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now. Right now, I'm creating more content. So yes, it is one of the more time-consuming parts of your business, but it is essential to your business. So it pays off itself quite well. And if it's really good content, later on you can compile a bunch of it and make an ebook out of it. So it's all can be repurposed. So let's talk about the next part, and that is links. Now, this is where you'll get all sorts of varying opinions. So I'm just going to tell you what I was taught. I'm going to teach you what I was taught. I'm going to teach you what I do. And I've told you the results that I've got. And it's just every day it grows. So I know it's just going to get better. So I'll teach you what I do and what I've been taught. And then you can go out there and you can believe or disbelieve all the other garbage that people teach about links. Let me just give you a little background on this for those of you that might be new to this. Links are important to your website. That's both internal, meaning links within your website, from page to page, and external, meaning from other websites to yours. The reason that they're important is mainly because of Google, and then Yahoo and MSN followed suit later on. What happened was, you know, before, 10 years ago, if you wanted to rank high in Google, you just did keyword stuffing. And it was hilarious what you'd find on Google. If I typed in lose weight, I could find a site that's, well, it could have been pornography. Because people knew that lose weight was searched for a lot, so they would go and they'd make a page, and they'd type lose weight, and they'd have that lose weight appear 1,000 times on that page. And Google, which was really, really new back then, and wasn't really good at finding relevant pages, would say, oh, this page has the term that they're looking for 1,000 times. That must be what they're looking for. And then serves up that page, and you just get garbage results. In fact, I hated the internet 10 years ago. I remember actually going on the internet about 10 years ago and just detesting it, hating it because I could never find what I was looking for. If I typed something in Google, it never gave me relevant results. And that's because people had complete control of where they would be in Google. All they had to do, if you wanted to rank for a keyword, is make it appear 1,000 times on a page, and that page would rank really high. Well, Google obviously improved. And one of the ways that they improved was by doing link popularity. And even this has been improved over time. But basically, the way link popularity works is if a site links to you or to your site, or it's more a page links to your page, and that page is popular in a search engine, has good ranking, Google will pass on some of that popularity to your page. And so you'll get a higher ranking because of it. And the more of these links that you have pointing to your pages, the higher ranking they get. And this counts for both internal links and external links, because you can't look at your website as a website. You have to look at it as a bunch of web pages. And each page can rank differently. If somebody says, I have number one ranking and for this keyword from my website, well, that's actually incorrect. It should be for my web page, for one of my web pages. And so the more links you have to your site, the higher the ranking. And that was the case a few years ago when Google first came out with the link popularity. Then what happened? Well, then people started spamming. They would create thousands of sites, and on these thousands of sites, all they had was links pointing to each other, which boosted all of their individual rankings, and then they also pointed to their relevant sites that they were trying to rank. And that's when you could go out, and it was actually effective to purchase 10,000 links to your website, because these people had 10,000 websites, just junk websites, and you would purchase from them, and a link would appear on all these websites to yours, and of course, would boost your ranking. So people found a way around that. So Google went further, and now they do relevant links, which means it's not just enough that the link is coming to you. It needs to be a link from a good web page that's relevant to what you're talking about, plus the link itself, the text of the link, needs to be relevant to what you're doing. So this is where I was talking about it's more powerful if you're doing dog training to get a link from a website about pet training than it is to get a link from a website about health and fitness. Now, a link from a website about health and fitness won't necessarily hurt your rankings. It just won't help them very much, especially in Google. Yahoo and MSN, it'll help a bit more because they don't do this as much, but they don't give you much traffic anyway, so we're not even going to worry about them. Well, just whatever traffic they give you, that's great, but we're focused on Google. So what we want is we need links from other people's websites to ours. But we don't just want a link to the page. We want the link to say exactly what the page is about. So if you get a link to your homepage and your website's about dog training, then you want the link to say dog training. You don't want it to say your website name, unless your website name includes the words dog training. So for example, let's say you have got somebody to agree to link to one of your products, and they link directly to one of your products, and your product is the HP Presario notebook, computer, or laptop, or whatever, R4000. Well, they could link to you, and their link could say, click here to check out this laptop, which is awful because you don't care about click here to learn more about this. You know, all those words are kind of useless. What you'd rather the link say is HP Presario notebook R4000. And that is very powerful. So you want the links themselves to have the keyword to your website. So that is the goal. You won't always be able to get that. A lot of people will just link to your website using your domain name, which is why, if possible, you want your domain name to have some sort of your keyword. But that's not necessary. But it is nice to have. Because when people do that, then at least your keywords are in there. So let's say, and you want to get links to not just your homepage, but to other pages of your website as well. In fact, the number that I was given is 50% of the links should go to your homepage. The other 50% should go to internal pages. Because that's natural. People don't naturally just link to a homepage. They'll link to exactly what was useful, not just straight to the homepage. If I find a cool video on YouTube and I want to tell my subscribers about it, I'm not going to say, I found this cool video on YouTube, click here to go watch it, and I'll just give them a link to YouTube. They're not going to be able to find it. So I'll give them a link directly to YouTube's the video page, or the page, sorry, that the page that the video is on. And that will be more relevant. So that's more natural as well. And it'll get the search engines to look deeper into your website. So that's something you have to think about, is that you want the link text to be more specific. It's more important that the link text have the keywords than it has the title of your website. If your website is Pete's Dog Palace, and it's all about dog training. And that's just the name of your place where you do the dog training. So your website's petesdogpalace.com. And you want somebody to link to you. Well, you don't want the link title to say Pete's Dog Palace. Yeah, that's just wonderful that nobody searches for Pete's Dog Palace. So you don't have to worry about that. You want them to search for dog training. So you'd rather have it say dog training. But if that sounds too basic and you want it to be more specific, you could say Pete's Dog Training. Or you could say Pete's Dog Palace - dog training in a link. And that's what you're looking for. Not just simple links, but links that have the keywords. And you want to have different links. You don't want, if you're going to go out and do a link campaign and build 1,000 links to your website, you don't want all the links to be the same, because that's not natural. You want all sorts of different links. So I'm going to talk about different ways to get links. Let me just jump into one of them so I can continue this example. One of the first ways you should get links is by submitting your site to directories. And while in directories are a great way to get started, they're not high quality links, but they are a good place to get started. And the reason they're not high quality is because a directory isn't necessarily specific to your market. It could just be a general directory. But it's still a link, so it still will help. Well, when you're submitting to, let's say, 500 different directories, 50 of the directories that you submit to have it be to your homepage with dog training as the keyword. The next 50 submit with pet training as the keyword. The next 50 submit with poodle training, you know, whatever your tier 2 keywords are. And you rotate it. And that way it looks more natural, and it also ranks you for more than one keyword. Remember what we're talking about here? We're a bigger net. We're not just going to focus all on one keyword. We're going to focus on a bunch of different ones so that we can get more of the long tail. So the question is, how do you get links? Let's talk about a few different ways. A great place to start would be directories. Just go online and type in directory in Google, and you should get lots of results for that. And certain directories will allow you to link to a subpage rather than your homepage, so take advantage of that. Another place would be link exchanges. Link exchanges are still useful, regardless of what some people might say. And link exchanges where you go to somebody and say, hey, I'll link to your site if you link to mine. Don't link from your homepage. Pick a resource page that you link from. Link exchanges are nice because you have a little bit more control over what they put because they're doing it for a link. So that's useful. And you don't get penalized for link exchanges as long as they're relevant. At least you don't at this point. Another great place is article submission. Take your articles. Now, you don't want, there's a problem with what we call duplicate content. The articles that are on your website need to be unique to the whole internet. So if you're going to want to take that article and submit it to the article directories, rewrite it yourself. You're going to spin it, but you're going to do it yourself, so it sounds right. You're not just going to use software. So you take that article, you rewrite it, or you hire somebody to rewrite it, and then you submit the new one to a few hundred article directories. And you can use software to do that, like articleannouncer.com or articlemarketer.com. Social marketing is another great way to do this. If you, such as social bookmarking, if you go to socialmarker.com, you'll see what I mean. These are sites which are like your personal bookmark sites, and you can make them public, and then you can bookmark all the pages of your site, along with other people's sites as well, because if it's just your site, it doesn't work so well. And the search engines actually visit those pages, and so those are more links to your website. So social marketing is great. Forum posting, the great way to get links, but not just links, but traffic. Remember when I was telling you that we get 80 unique visitors a day from Google through our on our website, on our blog, but we get 250 unique visitors a day? The rest of them come mostly from forums. And then some come from YouTube, and some come from a few other locations as well, but mostly they're coming from forums. So we were posting on forums not just to get links to our website, but to get traffic. It's just a great way to do it. And so post on forums for it. And you can find forums really easy in almost any market. Just type in the name of your, or the keyword that you're trying to do, and then forum. That's about all you have to do, or your the keyword and then bulletin board, but forum is a better one, F-O-R-U-M, as in Matthew. So that's great for links and traffic. And so just think of it that way. If you want to get instant traffic, forums are a great way anyways. Participate. Don't spam them. Participate. Ask questions. Answer questions. Become a regular member of half a dozen forums, no more than that, but make sure that they're the high traffic forums, the ones that rank the top in Google, and make sure they have a lot of traffic every day. And you can tell because you just look to see how many posts they have, and then post in the most popular areas, in the most popular categories. That'll maximize your forum posting. Blog posting is another way that can work, where you go and you actually post comments on other people's blogs. Most WordPress blogs, 95 or 99% of them, do what's called a nofollow, and that means that they put this little special tag in the links to people's websites in the comments, which basically say, search engine, ignore this. So blog posting isn't the most effective, but it can be effective for traffic. And of course, you can outsource all of this work, or at least most of it. I wouldn't outsource the forum posting. I would do that yourself, because you need to get to know your market anyway, so you might as well get involved. I have somebody that I pay like $4 an hour. He's from the Philippines. And I actually hired him through an agency. $4 an hour over there is actually really good pay. I know a few people from the Philippines. And so they're getting good pay because of the exchange and also because of the different standards of living. And I'm getting a great full-time agent. You have to hire them full-time for only $4 an hour. Now this you can find at agentsofvalue.com. Agentsofvalue.com. Look for a link builder. And I have this person, what they'll do is they'll spend a couple days on article marketing, on submitting articles. He even rewrites my articles. And submits a couple, or spends another day on directories and spends a couple days on link exchange. So he rotates between those three, submitting to directories, doing link exchanges, and submitting articles. At first, all he did was directories. I had him submit to about 1,000 directories to start off, just to kind of give it a bit of a boost. And then we went on. And if you're wondering, well, you just said not to get 1,000 links. Directories are different because you submit to them, but they don't approve them right away. They get approved over time. So it's a great way. If you submit to 1,000 directories today, maybe 50 of them will approve it by the end of the day. So 50 new links will appear. And then tomorrow, a few more will approve it, and those links will appear. So it's a nice, natural way. They don't appear all at once. As they get approved, they appear. Now, there's another way of getting links. That's even more important. Not because of how many links you get, but because of what it's going to do for your business. And it's what I call natural links. These are links that you get without asking somebody to link to you. I've had sites in the past rank really high on search engines because of natural links. And here's how you get natural links. You post really, really high quality content. Great videos. Great articles. Great reviews. Whatever it is. You post really good, unique content. And you also be really active on the forums. And if you post really good content, people are naturally going to link to you. They're going to do that. That's what they're going to do. Affiliate programs are another way, just as a side note. Because those affiliate links, you can, if they're done properly, will pass on link value to you. But if you post really good content, people will want to link to you from their websites. Because they're just like, hey, this is really good content. Go and check it out. It's free. It's a free article. It's really good. It's a really good video. So if you post really good content, you're going to get natural links as well. And that's what you want. So those are a few ways to get links. We've talked a lot about content. We've talked a lot about links. And we've talked about keywords. And we've talked about where this is useful and the kind of results that you can get. So that's the main overview of search engine optimization. This is basically all I knew when I started, and I got the results that I did. I've learned more. I've learned more details about site structures and more complex stuff that I've been starting to implement, but I didn't understand all of it when I first started. And so this is enough for you to get started with search engine optimization and to start seeing great results within a short amount of time to your website. Let's go and take any questions, and then we'll be finished for today's call. We got Brian from St. Catharines asking, keywords require that you pay for them in Google AdWords, so wouldn't it cost a lot for 1,000 keywords? You're not using AdWords. AdWords is pay-per-click. We're talking about search engine optimization where you appear naturally in the search engine, not in AdWords. So you're not paying for anything. So you use the AdWords keyword tool to research your keywords, but then you use the research that you did to build good keyword-rich pages in your market. But yes, it would cost a lot for 1,000 keywords, especially if they're good. If you have any questions, just go ahead and submit them now if you're listening to the call live, and I will go ahead and answer those. Otherwise, we'll just finish up. stick around for another 30 seconds just because I know there's a bit of delay and just give you time to put in your questions. Okay, I don't see any questions coming in, but I'll stay around for another 15 seconds. All right. We don't have any questions, so we'll finish our call now. We'll post a recording pretty soon. You have access to that, so you can go over any of the points. All right. Well, hopefully you enjoyed this search engine optimization call, and good luck with all your traffic efforts.